Hello, everybody. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Zaire. I'm a senior at AIT High School in Stanford. Today, I'm going to be talking about the Good Samaritan. We all walk, right? We all travel, drive, whatever. How many of you raise your hand if you see people in need of help whenever you go out? Okay, so most of you, keep that hand raised if you help those people. Okay, we lost some hands there. Give me a sec, I just gotta find Luke. So, basically, why don't we help those people? It may be that we can't, or we think we can't, or we don't have the time to, or we think we don't have the time to. But there's a story in the Bible that we all know, Good Samaritan, where we find somebody who, well, Jesus tells a story of somebody who basically doesn't get along with the guy that he helps, but he still ends up helping him, and I'll be reading this. Thank you, Lisa. let's keep in mind that this is a youth service, so so I'm gonna read this out. I'm gonna break it down, basically. So the story really starts. In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. He got beat up. They stripped him of his clothes and they left him. He got robbed. And they left him half dead on the street." So imagine you're walking to like Starbucks to go get your like vanilla bean frappuccino or whatever. And you see some guy beat up. He has like nothing on because he was wearing a bunch of stuff that the robbers wanted, and they took him. They took his money. He's laying there. He's helpless. And you see him. But this is after like two other people saw him. So a priest happened to be going down the same road, and he saw the man, and he went to the other side. This dude saw him. He said, "That's not my problem." Went to the other side of the street, kept walking. And so too, also, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed on the other side. Ain't nobody got time for that. I'm gonna leave this guy alone. Kept going. But the Samaritan, the guy that's not, they don't get along, guys. This guy and the Samaritan, they're not on equal terms. He saw him. He took pity on him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. And then he took this man on a donkey, brought him to an inn to take care of him. Next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper and said, "Look after him." So this guy saw him, called an Uber for him, brought him to a hotel, gave the hotel money for his room, but these guys don't get along, right? And he said, "Take care of him, and when I return, I'll reimburse you for any extra expense that you may have for him." So he said, basically, let him stay here for however long he wants to stay here, feed him, give him whatever food he wants, and just take care of him. I'll give you back the money that he spent, basically. So, yeah, he just took care of him, and these guys don't get along. And these guys are just not, like, it's not the person that you would think would help the person that was beat up on the road. You would think that the priest that came by saw him lying there. You would think that this guy, the figure of the church, the like person who's supposed to help everybody, would help him, but he decided not to. The Levite, you would expect him to help him, but no, he didn't. This guy who doesn't like this guy, helped him. And, like, that's just the strongest point in this verse. What we do when we see people on the side of the road asking for money because they're homeless or whatever, we may have, like, $20 on us, but that $20 is to go buy our new shirt when we have, like, 20 in our, like, closet and they have none. We could give him $20. We could bring him to a McDonald's to get him something to eat. But we decide not to because we don't have the time for that, or we don't want to give them the money when we really can and we think that we can't. And that's the message that I'm giving to you all today. Thank you.
Hello. Most of you already know me. I've been coming to PCOG basically my entire life. And so with the PCOG community and two former Young Life / youth ministry leaders for parents, my belief in God and Jesus was pretty much always assured. Bible stories were some of my first stories, and they fascinated me. They inspired me to get to know this God person. They soon became my favorite stories as they read, when my parents read them to me when I, before I went to sleep. There was, however, always one Bible story that didn't make sense to me. I can never understand the story of the prodigal son. I think we've all heard the story, but a quick recap. A son goes to his father one day and asks for his inheritance, basically saying, okay, you're taking too long to die. Can I just have my money? Then that son goes out and wastes every penny. He ends up with nothing, trying to eat pig slop. Deciding that his life would be better as his father's servant, the son returns home. At home, his father runs out to meet him and throws him a big party with a fattened calf. Great, yay, exciting, except what about the other son? The one who stayed behind this whole time. This son didn't waste money. He didn't wish his father's death or abandon his family. Yet this son gets nothing. That's what always killed me. What about the other son? Now I guess it's easy to see that I identified with the other brother. The one I now know to be representative of the Pharisees. I never even considered the possibility that I could be like the younger brother. How could I? I knew God was real, how powerful and loving he was. I have to flip it. Okay. However, despite my faith in God's existence and his power, eventually I grew angry with him. I began to doubt that love that I had once seen so clearly. Like the prodigal son, I began down the wrong path. I felt like I had always been faithful, prayed for everything. Yet, when I looked back, it seemed that nothing ever got better. I was so sick of trusting and believing in something or someone that disappointed me time and time again. I spent months just screaming at God, angry that he didn't prevent the hard parts, irritated that things always seemed to get worse, and I felt not only ashamed, but abandoned for having trusted someone who gave me nothing in return. Of course, during this time, Jordan and Lisa did try to reach out past this wall I was building between religion and myself. I saw their attempts. Jordan consistently texted me every week, asking me how I was doing and what was new. Sometimes I responded blandly. Most of the time, I didn't respond. I couldn't see past my own anger. One time I even responded by saying, look, it's not you, it's God. I have an issue with him. I resented God. I knew he existed. I knew he was there. But he didn't help me. All the millions of prayers for happiness that I had prayed, my parents had prayed, my friends had prayed, and still I felt like nothing was happening. But then God brought me home. He revealed to me all the things he had done for me. The people he had led me to meet, the opportunities he had laid out for me. All these amazing things began to become clear. What I had barely glanced at before, or that I credited to myself, suddenly stood out as the most perfect answer to my previous prayers. Through this journey, I learned a couple things. I learned that none of us are the perfect son. Even the older brother was not perfect. He was greedy and envied his brother. He judged his father's choices, and he still viewed himself as doing everything right. The only difference between the brothers is that the elder one had not yet humbled himself to his father. I learned something else about God and his love. I learned it's infinite. It doesn't stop or start. I turned away from him. I blamed God for so much. I ignored him every step of the way. But the whole time I was rejecting God and trying to push him to the side, he still continued to work miracles in my life. He healed me while I was still screaming at him. He helped me when I was still resentful. He loved me while I still blamed him. You see, none of us stay where we're supposed to. At one time or another, we all stray from the path. And every time, God welcomes us back with more excitement and more celebration than if we had never done anything wrong. Every time, it doesn't make sense. We did something wrong, yet we are welcomed back with even more than we lost. But that's just God's forgiveness and love, that he will, every single time, welcome us back home.
Could that really...